Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We have a very good show planned for you tonight, and I am very excited to be here. And as we're about to get started into our programming for the evening, I want to send a special word of thanks out to one of our heavy sponsors, and that is Pastor Castile Rowe and Sister Marjorie Cross, for all that they do to support this mission. We are so very proud of them. He's our director of sponsorship, and Sister Marjorie Cross is his assistant. And I just want to publicly thank them for the work that they are doing in support of this mission by sponsoring different events and sponsoring different individuals. And without further ado, I'm going to let Pastor Rowe say a few words before we get into tonight's program. All right, Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's program. Sir, it's always an honor and pleasure to have you on board with us.
Well, hello, everyone, and it's great to be on the show. And I want to thank you, Dr. Walker, and those that are supporting you in the vision that you have in reaching the less fortunate, not only the children, but all of those that are less fortunate. So, Scripture say, where there's no vision, the people perish. So we want you to know, and I can speak collectively for everyone, we're going to follow the vision that you have laid out. And it's so great to know we was operating in five countries. Now we have the Bahamas, which gives us six. So we just want to encourage everyone to contribute to this great call. So it's great to be on the show. And thank you so much, Dr. Walker, for your great vision and purpose.
Well, thank you so very much. We're going to go ahead and switch over now to a commercial break right now because our Sabbath hasn't started. And we're going to welcome Ms. Marjorie Cross. Ms. Cross, welcome to the night's broadcast. We're so happy for what you do. And we want to go ahead and give a commercial break at this time in support of you. And I'm one of her clients as well, you all. So, Ms. Cross, good evening.
Yes. Good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening, Pastor Rowe, and to all your co-hosts. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross. I'm a nurse and I'm a health and wellness, the most leading company in the world. We are A+ on the Better Business Bureau. And we have a lot of over 180 products that may be able to help you with any health conditions that you may have. And we could reach me at betteryourself.info. Again, my website is betteryourself.info. And my telephone number is 786-319-7223. 786-319-7223. And I'm also the assistant director of sponsorship with Pastor Rowe. We work together in Isogenic and in Dr. Walker program. God bless you all, and I'm enjoying the program. Take care. Thank you, Dr. Walker.
Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and welcome Sir Benny to tonight's program. Sir Benny, nice to have you with us as always. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, and happy, fantastic, fervent Friday. It is a pleasure to be on with tonight, and I am looking forward to an extremely wonderful show. Thank you.
All right, excellent. We're going to begin by inviting the presence of the Lord into our programming. Father, we thank you for all of the blessings that you bring to us each and every day, even those that we take for granted, Lord. We thank you. Please help us to have a very good show tonight, and Lord, help us to be mindful that you're in the midst of us. These are the blessings we thank in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, Pastor Roll, I want to begin with you this evening, and some of you all may have some noise in your background right now. Pastor Roll, I think we're picking up some noise from your computer, but we want to start out by asking you, Pastor Roll, what, in your opinion, does it mean to show empathy and having compassion for those in need? And why should we have compassion for somebody?
Well, scripture, you know, it talks about, you know, having compassion. And one thing that it attracted me to this great ministry that you have, and Marjorie Cross invited me, when I heard, you know, you talking about the people that was in Mexico. I remember that very distinctly. You know, they was hungry and, you know, and they needed help, and you was able to help them, you know. And, of course, we can't tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ when they're hungry, you know, but when we can, you know, serve them and have compassion for them, then they're more apt to listen to us. So it's important to have compassion for one another. And that's what we are doing, you know, on your, with your vision that you have, showing compassion for the people in Haiti, the people in Jamaica, the peoples in Mexico, the people now in the Bahamas, the people in Africa, and the people in the U.S., you know. Jesus showed compassion, you know, for those that were less fortunate, you know. And so if we show compassion, we'll be greatly blessed. And so we should show compassion because we're following the lead of the great leader of leaders, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing me to make that comment.
Thank you so much for that. Okay, so let's go now to, let's ask Benny. Sir Benny, is it our duty to show empathy and have compassion for others? And if so, why?
Yes, it is our duty, because those of us who understand servitude, which means to serve, we understand that there are people that need our assistance in many different areas and many different aspects of life. And if we are Christ followers, which means we are those who serve like Christ served, then we understand the necessity of what it means to help others. And is it our duty? Yes, absolutely is our duty, because we're supposed to help one another to be better in our everyday living.
Okay, so can I ask you, Sir Ben, while I've got you here, if we're not, and who's the duty to? It's duty to others, and who holds us accountable, if anyone? What if we don't do nothing for nobody else but ourselves?
Well, you always have a choice to make a decision about what you want to do, how you want to give, to whom you want to give, if you want to give, and if you don't want to give. That is always a choice that's given to each and every one of us. Now, when you go back to the place and says, who holds us accountable? God holds us accountable. Because if we don't help others, then we should not expect the same accord when we need help. And there will become a time when we will need help. It may not be in the way that we think, like we may not, you know, be stranded without a house or don't have a car. It may not be that way. It may be something as simple as you went to the store, you accidentally forgot your wallet at home, you have $20 worth of stuff, you go to reach in your pocket, you don't have the money. What do you do? And then all of a sudden that stranger who comes and says, hey, man, I got you. Don't worry about that. Now, did you need his help? Absolutely, because you had already gotten the stuff. It was there at the counter, the girl had rung it up, and you don't have your wallet to pay for it. Now, could you afford it? Of course you could afford it. But the fact is you needed help at that moment in a specific time. Now, if you choose not to help others, that same scenario could have went the other way. They could have been looking around and said, hey, man, if you got no money, get on out the way. So the next person going to pay. It could have went either way. So we got to always remember, do unto others as we would have others do unto us.
Okay. All right. So, Pastor Roll, I want to come back to you now and ask the question. If God holds us accountable, is there a a reprimand or a discipline that's imposed on us for not doing that which Sir Ben says we have a duty to do?
Well, Sir Ben, he hit the nail on the head, and I just want to add to what he said. And the scripture speaks clearly of what you have just mentioned in different words. For scripture says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So that simply means that when you...
Come in.
That simply means that when you...
We're gonna
somebody's knocking on my door.
We'll come
back
to you in a moment.
When you should...
All right, so we're going to come back to Pastor Roland in just a moment. So here we are. We're talking about empathy tonight. You know, putting yourself in the other person's place, in their shoes, having compassion for those in need. So when we walk around, Sir Ben, as I've got you here, we'll go to Suzanne in a moment. Thank you for your patience, Suzanne. So when we're walking around, Sir Ben, and we are passing the homeless, and we're just thinking arrogantly that, well, I made it, you know, so they shouldn't have been out there doing what they're doing, and maybe they would have made it too. Is that the right attitude that we who have a duty should be carrying on with ourselves, Sir Ben?
Absolutely. That is the epitome of what Christ was. That was the whole conversation that he had with the young rich ruler. And so what happens is we put ourselves in a situation to be almost godlike, and that is very much so impossible. Let me just go to a basic understanding. Everything we have belongs to God. Everything we achieve belongs to God. Everything that we have acquired belongs to God, because God is the giver of all things. And if he's the giver of all things, then none of it really, really belongs to us. Therefore, when you give to others, you're giving like God would have wanted us to give. You're giving like Jesus came here and died for us to give. He gave his all. He sacrificed his all. And so we, who are not God, but who have been given the authority to operate in a God-like manner, should have the same type of compassion and honesty. And it is not for us to judge what and why and who and why didn't they and how come they, because we are all one short step of being in the same situation as those people we see in homeless. Are there some people that don't do right? Of course there are, because we've dealt with those people all our lives. There are people that have scammed us out of money. We've gone to churches and events and organizations that have not done what we're supposed to do. We've been in different other things. In our own family and personal lives, we have not paid people back. But yet still, God is compassionate with us because he loves us. So if we have done those things and think other people are just scamming us, what about the things that we have done when we have not been completely honest about our situation? So, yes, if you feel the need and the desire to help a homeless person, then do so, because God looks at it as he's given you and you're just giving back to what he's already given to you.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to Suzanne now in just a moment. Tonight's show, if you're just joining us, showing empathy and having compassion for those in need. Suzanne, thank you for joining us this evening, and we certainly appreciate your compassion, actually your patience. Suzanne, let me just ask this question, and certainly you can pass on it. And that question becomes, and I don't really want you to answer this here, but if we were all to look in the mirror, we would probably need to ask ourselves, when was the last time I really reached out to help someone? When was the last time that I really thought about being empathetic to someone and helping someone else in need? Suzanne, how should people be able to answer that? And I know you can't speak for everybody.
No. Whenever, like Sir Benny said, whenever the time arises, you know, like the gentleman that, or the scenario he gave with the gentleman being in the grocery store, not having the money to pay for his bill, you know, someone could be kind enough to step up and do it for him. I mean, I've done things like that,
if someone has been in front of me and didn't have enough money to pay or whatever, I would tell the cashier, you know, I'll take care of it, you know, go ahead on or whatever, something like that. So, I mean, yeah, I've done that. I mean, I've given food to people that I've seen hungry because, you know, to be compassionate is altogether different from being sympathetic. You know, yeah, you can sympathize with someone because they lost a loved one or they're not feeling well, but showing compassion and empathy, that's action. That means you're supposed to do something to lighten their load or their burden to make them feel good, whether it's they need money or they need a ride or they need clothing, whatever the situation is. So to me, compassion and empathy, it's action. It's what you do. And that's the way I feel about it.
Well, Suzanne, when I hear you say you have done this before, so
yes.
If people, and you don't certainly have to answer this now outright, but if God were to ask me, son, when was the last time you helped someone in need? When was the last time you were empathetic to even trying to be compassionate to those in need? Can I answer that and say, this week, let me reflect, did I do anything this week to show empathy to someone, to help somebody in need? Did I? And I can't really say, I know what we're doing, you know, as a group, but personally, this week, have I done anything? And if I've got to think this hard on it, then maybe I didn't do anything this week. And then maybe are we making promises to God that I'm going to do something next week for somebody, and then that next week comes and we're still in the same place? Suzanne, you can't just, you know, when God asks you a question,
mm-hmm.
He already knows. So what is our purpose for responding to God if he already knows the answer? What is he doing? And Sir Benny, we're going to ask you the same question.
Well, you have to tell the truth. If you know you didn't do anything to help someone during the week, then it is what it is. You fall short. You know, and all you can do is ask God to forgive you and hopefully that, you know, you'll do better next week or whatever your promise is, because you're a work in progress. We're not perfect people, so we do fall short. At times we try not to, but, I mean, it happens. I mean, this week, for example, I don't know if you want to call this compassion or empathy, but I went in the store the other day and I gave this lady money. She gave me back too much change. So I looked at my receipt, even though she walked away from the register, and I knew what I gave her. And I said, no, this is not right. So I walked, I told my daughter, I said, I got to talk to the cashier lady. So I got her. I said, ma'am, you gave me too much money. I don't want you to be short in your drawer tonight. So take this back and give me back the correct change. You know, so I could have walked out and left the lady hanging, but to me, that's a form of stealing.
All right. Suzanne, we're so glad that you did that, and that is being empathetic. Empathetic to someone, not necessarily to her, who you don't know if she's in need or not, but certainly it would have been a need because her cash drawer would have been short, and your honesty helped that to not be short, and so I'm sure God is grateful for you. We're going to go to Go Girl. I believe we've got Go Girl on with us this evening. Welcome to tonight's broadcast, Go Girl.
Good evening. Happy to be here. Just having some different issues this week, but I'm praising God for even being able to have those issues. But I was listening to the situation of returning the money, and yes, I agree with her. That is a form of stealing if it is not returned. But I have a situation where a family member, I'm not going to say who, but a young woman, almost about 40 now, and just had her fourth child with a young man who does not work. She works, college educated, and he's really just a baby daddy, I call it, and uses drugs constantly. But she is so caught up with this individual that we still have to love her, not that we love the actions of any of them. But with the four kids, the empathy is, you know, constant because we're always feeling for the children. But she finally got a house this week. They had been staying in, last week, staying at a Motel 6 for the past maybe 2 years. And, you know, having been evicted from several places, it's hard to get. But anyway, she was able to get some type of grant and was able to get a place for them. So I took I had already put some things together, which if I'm on the road, I will stop and take things to them constantly. Food, not so much money. We do usually give them money, but not, you know, maybe for gas or give them a gas card or something like that. But anyway, I went in at a U-Haul trailer, and my mother and myself, but my mother didn't go, with my sister and another friend, we packed it up. And we took the stuff and, you know, we got to the house. And, of course, the mail says to us, y'all did all this yourselves? And all I could say is, if it's going to be done, you're going to need to do it yourself. But in light of that, the empathy that I see in giving is usually towards those who are not responsible been able to be responsible for themselves. It's not that I wouldn't help adults, because I do have a situation at school where I have a single mom. She has two kids, and she works hard, but her mom is sick and was in the hospital. But I was fortunate enough to receive four brand-new bikes just in riding down the street. And so all of them had been sitting up but in good condition, and two of them we had gotten from my nephew. But the third one, I told her I was going to bring her son a bike because he needs a bike. So my brother took the bike, and I called him today. I said, what's happening with the bike? And he said, it's something going wrong with the brakes, so I got to go up to the shop. So my brother had them fixed. So I'm just happy that I'm able to – he said he's going to bring the bike to the school, if not next week, the week after, and we'll be able to give her that bike. But, yes, as individuals and as Christians and as those who have been given to, our purpose is to help others. We're not to just keep it all to ourselves, because some people, most people, I wouldn't say most, but a lot of people aren't going to ever see Jesus in a church. They're not going to listen to those who are passing out flyers. They simply need to see the love coming from individuals. And that in itself will somehow spark an idea, or the Holy Spirit will be driven into their memory as to why someone would be so kind to them.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. And let me ask, and Go Girl, we're going to come back to you in a moment. Sir Ben, I want to bring you on here and ask the question. Jesus said that the poor will always be with you, those who are necessarily in need. So are we, or could we be enabling people? And Go Girl, I want to come back to you on this as well. And we need you all to be brief, because we're almost out of time, believe it or not. So, Sir Ben, could it be that we're enabling someone? Say, for example, if I'm sitting up here in my house and I'm wearing these name brand shoes, athlete, I don't want to call any names, but an athlete shoes, and these shoes, tennis, I cost $150 minimum. And, I mean, it's like I'm wearing name brand clothes, but I'm not out here doing hardly anything for myself or my family, you know. And so the question becomes, but yet, Sir Ben, you're bringing me all of these donations and contributions, I mean, are you enabling me to not? It's like, hey, you know, why should I get that damn work? Let them take care of me. Is that being empathetic and having compassion for those in need?
Very quickly, again, that is not our job to decide or determine. If the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, we call it a pricking. If the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, what happens with it, doing what, that is not our concern. Our concern is to help those who are in need. The Holy Spirit will work on those other people. See, a lot of times we forget that we're not supposed to be the judge and jury for people because of their situations or circumstances. It's simply this. Do what the Holy Spirit prompts you to do. If you give $50, don't worry about what they do with the $50. The Holy Spirit will water and do whatever he needs to do. He just needs you to be obedient. And those people are not looking for us to judge them. They're looking for our help. And God says, remember, how often are we supposed to give? They have a number, 70 times 7. That number was just a number given for just purposes. But really, we should forgive forever, forever. We should be forever givers. And if we're forever forgiving people, then we don't have to worry about their situation. We should just be forever forgiving them and praying for those people that the Holy Spirit comes and helps them out of their situation.
All right, we're going to ask you to certainly stand by. Go Girl, I want to bring you back in here. Go Girl, if you know that I'm over here, I'm on the corner store, and, I mean, I'm not dressed the best, and I'm actually begging for money. Listen, you got $5, I can get me something to eat, but I'm smoking a cigarette. And you see a beer can on the side of me, and you assume that that's mine, which it probably is. Then go, girl. I mean, I'm asking you for $5 to give me something to eat, but I'm blowing out my cigarette at the same time. Go, girl. Can you give me the $5?
I'm not going to say that I'm going to give you $5. I'll give you what I can give. But I agree with the brother that it's not for us to decide what the person's character or what they're doing in terms of not helping themselves. And that's why I said we can give what we have to give. It's not all the time that I do, but, you know, if I have something, I give it to them. And I do that simply because I just feel like I'm blessed where I am. And I don't question whether or not, you know, they're doing the right thing. It's the same thing with my family member because it is a enabling its situation. It really is. But if the kids aren't taken care of correctly, or at least I think correctly, and they will survive even if they didn't have those things, it's just for me, I'm looking at my own upbringing and my childhood, and I wouldn't want my kids to live that way. So basically, we give around our own preferences and our own ideas. But as a Christian, if someone is, you know, out there with their Jordans and sitting on the side doing nothing and asking for money, and a lot of times you see the same people. I don't always give to the same people. And sometimes it does question, you know, I gave this person last week. It was a young lady up at Ross, her and her daughter, big little girl, maybe about 10. She said, oh, I need $5 to get my daughter something to eat. So I actually gave her the $5. Then I went up there and saw her again. And I said, listen, we talked about your situation last week. And I said, I kind of brought it up. She was waiting for her check, and she agreed. I said, now this week, what are you waiting on? She said, oh, I got it, but I needed to get some place to stay. I had a dollar and some change, and I gave it to her. And I said, and I told her, okay, so you got to really start thinking about how you're going to provide for this child, if that's the case. It's not just standing in front of a store asking for people to give, because just like you're asking for something, everyone doesn't have something to give. So you got to start thinking about what you're going to do with this child. And I kept going. That was it.
Okay, so, excellent. You know, and I'm a softie as well. And I'm wondering, and Sir Ben did say something tonight, if the Spirit, you know, puts it in your heart to give. But there have been times, and I'm talking about myself only, that I felt like I might be enabling a person. And let's go back to the scenario where the guy is smoking a cigarette and it's assumed to be a beer can there next to him. And it may sound judgmental, and of course, I never said that I was perfect, and I always tell you all that on the show. I'm not perfect, so only Christ is our example. And so there have been times when they have asked me, and I just said, no, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, and I felt bad about that, but then I'm thinking, you know, I'll gladly buy you something to eat. But I just, and I know we're saying it's not up to us to determine what they're doing with it, but I just can't see food being equated to what I'm assuming, and that's bad to do, that this guy is probably going to go get another beer or a pack of cigarettes. And I think cigarettes are over $3 now. I don't even know, but I'm just thinking that's pretty hefty. So if 10 people, I remember seeing a sign that a man had on the side of the road. He said, if 100 people gave me a dollar, I would have $100. So, I mean, the guy came down to the math. If 100 people gave me, he had his sign that actually, if 100 people gave me a dollar, I would have $100. So he figured out, if I can get out here for 4 hours a day and make $100, why do I need to work? So, Ben, let me bring you in here. If I can put that sign out there and it's working for me, why do I need to go work anywhere?
Well, they always say the math of the numbers are accurate. So that is accurate. That is correct. But then, you know, not to just say, I want to make a point to you. How many people go to an eight-hour job and really give them 8 hours? How many people, you know, break here, break there, a lot of gagging, talking on the phone? So is there a difference between him asking 100 people for a dollar and we sitting there making $15, $20 an hour and we're not even given a full hour or full 8 hours of work? Let's think about that for a second. See, we changed the scenario about how situations are, but if you think about it, it's still the same. Are we giving our just time? If I hire you to do a job for 8 hours, but you only work 6.5 hours, that means you stole an hour and a half from me. I'm going to say it again. You stole an hour, or basically, you basically begged and got an hour and a half free. You got a 15 plus 7, 50, you got $22.50 free from me because you didn't give a full 8 hours of work. So, yes, they figured it out. But again, remember, we have people around us who are going to be dishonest. We have people around us who are going to be honest. Again, we don't need to try to determine that in our lives. God will handle that. God will handle those who are misdeeds in his function. If you know to do good and you don't do good, God will effectively handle you in your not doing good. And a question I had for you, Dr. Justin, is that we should not ever feel bad for our decisions. If we make a decision, stand on that decision. Don't feel bad about it. Don't feel negative about it. Just make the decision. If you want to give, give. If you don't want to give, don't. Issue is when we feel guilty about not doing something, that's an indication that we probably should have done it and not worry about it. Because to feel guilty is a form of worry, and we're not supposed to worry as true Christians of Christ, even though we do. I understand that. I'm not going to take that away from people. But we want to never get to a place of feeling guilty about our decisions.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Suzanne, I want to bring you in here and ask. It's like, wow. Suzanne, you see me with the cigarette and with the beer. Suzanne, I'm asking you not for a dollar. I'm asking you for $5. Suzanne, and I mean, and you've got a wand in your purse of money, and it's like, are you going to give me the $5 or what?
Well, first off, being a female and being by myself, I would probably walk away from you because I refuse to open up my purse in front of a stranger and show them what I have. Now, if I'm going inside of a store or something, I may take $5 or a couple of dollars and leave it in my hand And then when I come out, and if you're out there, then I may give it to you. But I have to use safety precaution because there are some people that are not on the up and up. And I have to protect myself as well and what little bit I have.
Right. So, Suzanne, I'm out there when you come back. I mean, you ignored me and you walked to the store. You walked away from me because you had a fear or a phobia of me. But then I'm still out there when you come back. Now you could have decided in there whether you're going to put the $5 in your one hand. So am I going to get the $5 or what when you come out?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to give you five. If I got two, three, whatever left over, then yes, I'll give it to you. But I don't know if I'm going to give you the five.
But I wanted five.
That may have been what you wanted, but you get what I give you, and you should be grateful for that. That would be $2 or $3 more than what you already had.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Pastor Rowe, let's bring you in here. Pastor Rowe, I mean, when we talk about empathy, is there a difference between, I mean, will God really hold us accountable if we are supporting someone who may even have a drug habit? You know that this person is on drugs, and you're going in there, and you're giving that person, they're saying, listen, I haven't eaten in 2 days, and they're scratching all the signs of a person who's heavy on drugs. And it's like, listen, I mean, you know, and you know that that corner where you are is infested with people who are acclimated on drugs. And he said, I haven't eaten in 2 days, man. You got $10. You know, God is going to bless you. He really will, man. You got $10? Pastor Rowe, I know you're a man of compassion. Pastor Rowe, you're going to give me the $10 or what? I mean,
well,
instead
know,
of me robbing,
I can...
you're going to get the $10 or what?
Well, I can understand my sister Suzanne, you know, with her being a woman, he being a female, you know. I would, you know, take, you know, precautions, you know, just like she said, you know. But if somebody, you know, had came into the store with me, I would come in through one door and go out the other, you know, give the person whatever you want, some sardines in a can or Vienna sausages or oodle noodles or what, you know, to feed him. But she, you know, a woman has to be very careful with that pocketbook because a man could just snatch it off her, you know, snatch it off her arms and take off and run. So a woman has to be careful. But as for a man, you know, most men can basically defend themselves, not to the exclusion of women. Some women can defend themselves better than men. But, you know, more than likely he's going to take that money and go buy another beer. You know, but if he's hungry, I'd go ahead and you know, get him some sardines or whatever to help him out. But you got to use wisdom. You got to be very cautious these days.
Man is telling you he's not even asking you for some sardines and anything. He's asking you for $10. So are you going to give him the $10 or not, Pastor Rowe?
No, I'm not just going to give out money. I'm not going to give out money like that, you know. I mean, what is he going to do with the money? I don't want to just go through interrogation and say, what are you going to do with this or do with that, you know. Say, you know, I would just be more proactive and say, what you need? You need some food or something?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Right. Would you do the same thing, which is hard for me to resist, when she has a child or children out there? That is very, I mean, that is just going to appeal to the emotions of probably most people. And, I mean, I saw a young girl. This girl couldn't have been no more than 22. And she's got a baby in a stroller out there. And I was pulling up the Walmart, and I'm like, whoa, I need to turn around. But I couldn't turn around where I was. And when I came out of the store, I forgot about it. So what's the difference between that and having a baby in the stroller and a man who's asking for $10?
Well, I would just show more empathy to the lady, you know, in the stroller. You can look at people and tell whether they are down and out or whatever, you know. But, you know, God give us a spirit of discernment. You know, you'll know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. You know, sometimes, you know, you just have to just say no. or whatever. But that's great spirit. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, we heard Ben saying it's not for us to judge, and certainly we're all giving our opinions here, but isn't that a judgment call, Pastor Rowe, where you're saying that, you know, it sounds like you would have more compassion for the young girl with the baby as opposed to the man who's asking for $10. So isn't that, is that one of the same, or is that different?
Well, you have to, as far as semantics is concerned, determine the difference between judging and discerning. You know, God gives us wisdom, and you have to just utilize that discernment that you got. The world will eat you up out there. But just to narrow the focus, I'll just say straight up, I know that you've given a lot, more than a lot, just to help people in our circle of influence, these countries that we've got, And I think we should focus more, focus, F-O-U-C-S, follow one course until successful. We are on this show. I'm on this show to see what I can do to help others in other geographical, these six areas that we got. And that way you don't have to carry the financial load yourself. And I know others are contributing. I believe and I pray that others contributing. But I know that if we show mercy, scriptures say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that's a law of reciprocity. You're going to reap what you sow. And the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. So I just feel the narrower the focus, our focus should be helping you to undergird these six countries that we've got. And we need to start by giving today.
All right. We certainly do appreciate that. Let's go. We're going to go to Sister Marva in just a moment. But before we do, go, girl, I want to come back. And I want to say that, if we don't help the needy, I asked this question earlier, is there something that God would, I know the Bible says, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of them, you have done it unto me. So is he going to really hold us accountable? Can't we just make an excuse and say, well, Lord, I didn't feel like it this week. Maybe next week, and then the next week come and we still haven't done anything and we're not even thinking about it because we're happy at going to work, we're happy at being retired, or we're happy at just, we ate this week for the whole week, God, thank you for the blessings. We prayed over our food, everything. But what about those that don't have it? How do we look at the television and we flip the channel quickly because it just, that we see in these kids in these countries that are starving and dying. So where is the compassion? Help me with that. Where is the compassion?
The compassion that we as individuals and as Christians should have is, again, you give according to your heart, and whatever you can give is not to question the outcome, because again the Holy Spirit will do its work, and we need not concern ourselves with what's going to happen to it once it leaves our hand. And the gentleman did make a good analogy of that. We go to work and don't give a full day's pay. Sometimes
right.
We show up late, and in all honesty, it would be the same thing. So when we give, and that compassion, we should see ourselves in the predicament, because from day to day, we don't know what's going to happen. You might come home, and even though you have insurance on your home is now, burned to the ground or something like that. Insurance is fine, but rebuilding is a whole different situation. So compassion should be in our thoughts and prayers of anyone as a Christian, as an individual, because we don't know ourselves that we're going to be in that situation. It could be a family member that's in that situation, and, you know, it may turn into a hardship on your part trying to help, but at the same time, I remember during Hurricane Andrew how people just didn't have water, just plain out water, and water became a commodity that, you know, you driving
sure
Palm Beach trying to get to take down to your family, you know, down south. So that type of compassion should be where we are always existing into the present, because we don't know what's going to happen in the next hour.
Right. You know, Go Girl, thank you for that, because the Holy Spirit, based on what you just said, you just tapped into our spirit. And I want to, just before I forget the thought, to go back for a second. Pastor Roll, I want to pass this on to you, what just came into my spirit. That as we approach hurricane, you know, you're the director of sponsorship, and I want to say this here before I forget. I certainly could write it down, but I got so much going on over here. That as we approach hurricane season, one of the things that we want to take on is we want to seek out the elderly and single parents, single mothers preferably, to make sure that they have water, things like that that Go Girl has mentioned. The essentials of what we can do, even right here in those areas where we know we can get out to. So please make a note of that, Pastor Roll, if you would. And I'm sorry if I'm making a commercial break now, but Go Girl, just put that in my spirit. And thank you, Go Girl, for that. And that's what we do. We're finding the compassionate needs. And let me tell you something. With what we're doing over here, through sponsorship, that you just simply take out a sponsorship, and it helps us to be able to reach so many people, because one plus God becomes the majority. One plus God becomes the majority. So it's not the masses of people. It's just that God can take a little bit of something and turn it into much. And that's why he's requiring us to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. And I'm telling you, this I mean, I'm so grateful to every one of you all that come on, those who are behind the scene, with many of you all are out there, because we're trying to really make a difference out here. And with what Go Girl just said, you know, we want to touch the reality. We want to make it where it's not just Christmas time or Thanksgiving that you're doing things. People have needs every day. Go Girl, we're going to ask you to, in about 8 to 9 minutes, if you'll close us out with tonight's topic, showing empathy and having compassion for those in need. Will you close us out in about 8 or 9 minutes, Go Girl?
Sure, I will.
Okay, thank you for that. So, Pastor Roll, you made a note of this. Let's go to Marva. We want to come to you, and thank you for your patience. And Marva, I mean, you know, can you feel compassion, Marva? We need to be doing something I would say if we can't do it every day, at least once a week. I mean, Marva, what do you think about that? Does it sound like we're begging? No, that's not what we're doing. I'm saying find out there, even if you're not being a sponsor to a subscription, I'm saying find somebody out there that's in need. Marv, is that wrong?
Well, absolutely not. Jesus, one characteristic of Jesus that we know, not just him healing, but having compassion. And I feel like if we don't have compassion on people, then we're not following the master. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you a little story. I was coming off the freeway. I went to the Olive Garden to get me some dinner. And I got a steak and, you know, mashed potatoes and the salad and all of that stuff, bread. And I was driving home, and as soon as I pulled off the exit, there was a guy standing there. And he says, "I'm hungry. We'll work for food." So because I was right next to him, I rolled my window down and I said, "Hey, look, I have some food here. Would you want it?" And I told him what was in there. And he said, "Yes, sure. And he took it. And when I looked in my rearview mirror, he was sitting down in the grass eating the food. You know, so
okay.
I ended up without my dinner, but, you know, that's just one of the things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Margaret, while we've got you on here, break down, and I'm sure Go Girl may do some more addition to this here. Break down empathy for me and then compassion. What does empathy, from your perspective, mean? And what does compassion mean?
Empathy is the ability to put yourself in the place of another person. For example, you, Dr. Jesse, you can't put yourself in the place of a woman having a child. You just can't. But another woman can. That's empathy for her pain, for her, what she's going through at the time. Compassion,
right.
however, is to have a feeling of pity. It's more like a pity. The people that Jesus had compassion on were hungry. He had compassion on those who couldn't walk or couldn't see, you know. That's where the difference is to me in having compassion and being empathetic.
All right, so now when we talk about, and Suzanne, we're going to come to you in a moment. You know, the Bible tells us, Pastor, we're going to go to you first, though. The Bible tells us that be careful or be aware that sometimes when we are entertaining people, we may have entertained angels unaware. Break that down for us, Pastor, because it may be somebody out there who's in need, and that's a test for you. That person came to you, and, you know, to refuse them, it could be that that was an angel, and that was your test, because I believe that we're tested all the time. And I recall, just before you respond to that, I recall standing in a congregation of a number of ministers, and I was there with them. And this person, I felt in my spirit, this person came off street. We were outside, you know, ending a meeting. And it was at least 150 people out there, but in the circle I was in, it was all the ministers. And there had to be at least 8 to 10 of us. And that person off the street came into the gates, and I saw and felt their spirit, and they came right to me, other than anybody else. And they never even spoke. They never spoke. And I went into my pocket, and I discreetly gave them $5 or $10, I can't remember what it was, discreetly. And they patted me on the shoulder as if to say thank you and walked away. That was like, wow. They never even spoke. They just saw me. I felt their spirit approach me. And then I just went in my pocket discreetly and without even anything. And then the ministers looked at me and say, what was that about? I say, it was okay. It was okay. I just connected with his spirit. And the man patted me on the shoulder and walked off. They say, did you know him? I say, no. But I knew what he wanted. So that was the spirit of God that had placed in me, like Jesus knew that woman had touched him. And I'm saying, God, listen, when you're compassionate for people, that there's something about you that you will know without even words being spoken. Pastor Roe, how do you see that? How do you see that?
When I tell you, Dr. Walker, you hit the nail on the head, you know. I mean, you can't look at the way a person dressed, you know, the determined, the character, you know. They can be dressed, you know, I mean, like a millionaire, just dressed and be the biggest devil there is, you know. But it was something in you, Dr. Walker, that you recognize something about this person, and you help that person, and you know some entertaining angels unawares, you know, with strangers, but you was moved by what was being spoken to you on the inside, and that's what myself and others had mentioned, you know, It's the spirit will speak to you and tell you what to do and what not to do if you listen very acutely and very keenly, and that's what you did. So you just have to go by what's on the inside of you. And that person,
you know,
could be an angel.
You
know, but look at what you got now. You got a great global ministry now. Maybe that came because of you helping that one person that was an angel unawares that you didn't know. God is blessing you now, even with this radio show.
You know, and we thank you for that. And let me just share this with you all. And trust me, and God is keeping me so humble. And I'm sharing with you all. If you really want to feel the blessings of God, and I kid you not about this, genuinely, I'm not looking for something to gloat for myself. That's already taken care of by God. But I'm telling you, when you are compassionate, when you have mercy for those in need, when you're empathetic to those in need, God will bless you beyond measure. And I'm not just telling you stuff from what I've seen. I'm telling you from things that I've even experienced with other people by getting them. And it's all about getting all of us. If we talk about it being a duty, getting us to do that duty, because one day we have to stand before God. And, you know, and so, you know, this week I want to be able to do something more. And every weekend I'm always thinking about what more can we do. And Go Girl just gave it to us tonight, Pastor Roland. I certainly hope that you take stock of it, because I can't do this by myself. I need everybody else. So we're talking about that, the hurricane preparedness, you know, and we're in April, May, June. June 1st is it. Let's bring in Suzanne. Suzanne, thanks for your patience, and then we're almost out of time. We'll take about a couple more. Suzanne, I want to bring you in here. Suzanne, do you feel within your heart that you want to be compassionate for people? And if you certainly would not want to answer that, and I don't mean to put anybody on the spot, but right now I'm feeling it's in my heart, especially with what Go Girl said tonight about, you know, the water thing, and it's not up to us to judge once we give the money. Sir Ben has said that tonight. And all of us are making these contributions and thoughts, and Sister Marvin, all of us. So it makes me feel like, what am I to do this coming week that can help somebody else? Whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's a, you know, if I'm at the store and the opportunity presents itself, we're being tested. And I believe God does test us. He tests Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And then are we subject to failing that test? Suzanne, what do you think? Do you think God tests us?
I believe he does. I believe we're always being tested because he wants to make sure that we follow his commandments and what he believes in, sharing love and helping one another. And I know I'm being tested a lot. I mean, I've always been, to me, I felt I've been a compassionate person because I've always helped the younger people. I've even taken in young people into my home and taken care of them that way. So I have the utmost respect now for a lot of young people that are grown, and they look to me as a mother now. But besides that, there's always something you can do to help someone. Like I said, it's a simple thing of giving them a ride or giving them food or whatever it may be. So there's always things that we can do to help others that are in need.
All right. Well, we're going to actually stand by. Listen, we're completely out of time. We got to go to Go Girl to close us out, showing empathy and having compassion for those in need. Go Girl, close us out, please.
Okay, I just have two verses from Psalm 74, and in the context of it being used, it is just the idea of the poor always being with us. But it says, "Oh, do not let the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise your name." So if that is going to happen, those of us who know God, those of us who love God, those of us who have been given, too much that is given, much will be what? We need to give it back. We need to be able to show that it's not just something God gave us for for exploration, but to help explore those who are in need. I would like to say thank you again. And yes, there is much work to be done consistently. While we close our eyes, there are people out there suffering. There are people in need. We know the Ukraine situation, even though many of us have, you know, not distance, but we don't know anyone in Ukraine. Those people are being placed in situations now that we ourselves, like I said, we don't know where we're going to be, and we are being tested. So I ask that we just bow our heads in reference to God, that he continues to provide us with the knowledge, with the fortitude, with the means of helping those that are in need. Lord, we are not here for the accolades. We're not here for the praise, but we're asking that you give us discernment in our hearts to help those that we come in contact with, even when it appears to be where we're doubting what's going on in the face of our own thoughts. But again, Lord, we ask for safety as we continue to provide for those that we can, and we ask a special blessing for our children and our young people, that they may also tune into the fact of giving and returning, and that they have been blessed. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. And there's Amen. Nothing greater than love. Certainly, we want to thank you, Go Girl, for that closing thought. And you've certainly touched our heart tonight, all of you all, with your contributions of what you said on tonight's program. We're clearly out of time, you all. Join us back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Of course, if you choose to bypass next Thursday, we'll be back here next Friday for your one-hour inspirational program. And, of course, if you choose to bypass that, we'll be back the following morning when it's International Divine Intervention Day. If you feel that you want to be our speaker for that week, for that day, please let us know that you're willing to offer an inspirational word or two. Until next Thursday or next Friday or until next Saturday morning, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr.
Good night,
everyone. Good night, everyone. Thank you, Go Girl, for that great closing, and thank you all. Great show as usual.
Thank you. Okay,
thank you.
And everyone be blessed.
Okay, you too. Keep safe and keep well, everyone. Bye.
Good night, Marjorie.
Good night, Pastor. Good night.